You're ready. I'll start the
Manager Joe's all set. Okay. I'd like to call this meeting to order of the Highway and Bridge Capital Projects Committee on March 3rd, 2021. Can we please rise for the pledge? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, justice for all. Thank you. Has everybody gotten a chance to look at the minutes from last month?
Yes, sir.
I have. Okay. If nobody feels there should be any changes or corrections, I'll entertain a motion to move them.
Moved.
So moved.
Moved by Legislator Heppner, seconded by Manager Joe Green. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Okay, before we get into our resolutions tonight, Amanda Laval from the Environmental Department is here to speak to us on a certain issue. Amanda?
Good evening. It's good to see everybody. I was invited on the topic of sustainability policies. So I wasn't exactly sure what you're looking for and what kind of information. I have some information presented, prepared to present. However, you also have a really full agenda. There's tons of resolutions on your agenda. So I was wondering if there was something in particular that you were looking for me to speak to.
If I may.
Go ahead, Manager.
I think what we've been talking about in Public Works and Capital Projects is having some form of a checklist that we could refer to, and a system that, so we don't have to kind of keep asking the same questions on different projects, you know, questions about, is it solar ready? Is it, you know, things like that. And that conversation turned into an update. And that's a good idea because I think we could all use a refresher. But I just wanted to let people know how the invitation got extended. It was an outgrowth of that conversation that we've been having to better understand and to ensure that the sustainability criteria that the legislature has developed over the years are actively being considered all along the line from engineering to request for proposals to you know, the various contracts that come before us.
Chair Fabiano, if I may, just a little context setting before
I
dive in. And thanks, Manna. What I've suggested to Amanda, and kind of in the spirit of what we've talked about, Manna, is that she prepare a list of the existing sustainability policies that tend to bear on the projects that this committee considers, and work with Director Jackson and his team so that when they come to talk to you about those projects, they're also ready to tell you about which ones of those policies impact the particular project and what has been done to take that into account. And yes, you know, thinking that that's a good starting point for what you're trying to accomplish.
I completely agree.
Great.
And I to add to that, you know, there's constant communication between public works and environment and purchasing, all the departments involved. There are about 6 to 8 policies that I think, Mana, you would be particularly interested in and the committee. Some of them do tend to bear more on purchasing, and some tend to bear more on capital projects. And there are slight differences in how those are tracked, kind of the work that we're doing towards all of those. And would be happy to come back or, you know, send that list for distribution. It doesn't have to wait till the next meeting for you to see kind of the list of those policies. And again, they're also all in the sustainability guide that's been compiled over the years, and that's available on the county website as well. In addition to that, you know, again, I'm going to try to keep this pretty high level right now because I want to be, any of these conversations could be a lot richer and a lot longer, but looking at your agenda, I just want to kind of hit the main points for you. We're also in, we have a work group formed right now with the purchasing department where we're not only reviewing kind of our current status of all the resolutions and policies on the books, but looking at the next update of the purchasing manual and how to make those policies more explicit. And also we're even doing things to look at the procedure side that doesn't put all the kind of gatekeeping when it comes to the environmental policies on the purchasing department, but continues to educate all the departments who are putting in purchase orders or requisitions about the policies that are on the books to make sure that they know about them too. So we are currently engaged in that discussion with purchasing, and that manual will come back to the legislature to review and approve. That's happens, I guess, every year to every 2 years. The other thing to note is that you should have just received the Green Fleet and the benchmarking carbon neutral government operations reports. Those are each full of information as far as operations, updates on kind of vehicle fleets, what types of vehicles we bought this year versus, you know, other years, charging stations, all those kinds of things, as well as renewable energy deployment. So you can also, there's a lot of information that is put into those reports. A lot of time goes into those reports, getting all the data. So we would love it if you take the time to read them because they're very rich. And I think one of the things that was incredibly noteworthy, just high level, the hot highlight is that, you know, we all know everyone drove less and didn't, you know, work out of the office during COVID, but that has our greenhouse gas emissions, vehicle transit, and also buildings were down about 20% last year over our baseline, which is kind of an amazing reduction that, just from avoiding use, just from not doing things. So it's something to note. How much discussion would the committee like to have now, and how do I prepare this kind of going forward?
I just wanna flag that, unfortunately, I didn't realize this presentation was tonight. I have a hard stop at 7:30. I'm part of a panel on vaccine hesitancy. For what that's worth to the committee, you know.
Mana Joe.
I would suggest that this is just a good start given the agenda and time constraints. If you send us the list, then we'll have some time to process it and hopefully be able to formulate specific questions for the next meeting. I don't think we need to prolong it unless others do.
That sounds like a good plan. I can just do a memo and reiterate what I just told you and then put the list in there as well.
Can I make a comment, Dean?
Yes, Tom, go ahead.
Okay, so first of all, I very much would like appreciate DPW having the opportunity to participate in this process and review it and have input. Having said that, by way of a teaser, we are in the process of onboarding. I can't share the name, but we're in the process of onboarding a new deputy commissioner of DPW for capital projects to replace Ron Suits, who retired. This individual has extensive experience with sustainability planning at the state level. And when I reviewed this, the concept of a sustainability checklist with him, he was quite excited to be part of that. So he's starting the first Monday in April, and I'm going to invite him to the Public Works Committee meeting at that time and introduce him.
That's fine.
But I'm looking forward to this. I think we can really, DPW can provide meaningful input and feedback on a sustainability checklist under his guidance.
That's so great.
Thank you. Well,
Amanda, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you all. Good night.
You're welcome. Thank you. Good
night. Thank you again, Amanda. We'll be in touch.
Hey, Evelyn. Well, I don't know if you want to stick around for the first two or three. I mean, I'm happy to speak on them. They're Midtown Linear.
Sure. I can stay for that.
I didn't see Dennis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so with that done, we'll move into resolutions. The first resolution being Resolution 99, approving an increase in funding for design, testing, and construction services of Phase 3 campus roof project for Hasbrook Hall and exterior emergency facade renovations related to the campus roofs capital project number 489, campus roofs, and amending the 2021 Ulster County Capital Fund, Ulster County Community College. Evelyn?
Sorry, this one's Jamie. It's the next one. That's the Midtown Linear part.
So this is for to repair.
This is for the roofs at the college.
At the college, yeah.
Yeah, I'll move it for discussion, Chairman.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion made by Legislator Cahill, second by Legislator Huebner for discussion. Anybody want to speak on the issue?
Hi, everyone. Yeah, I can just do a quick overview. This is the next phase of a roof reconstruction project. So this is going to include Hasbrook Hall. Going back to Man and Joe's point, we will be working with DASNY and work with them to do a feasibility study again to see if this could be a solar-ready roof. That's kind of our standard practice with them, and we'll work through that one with them as we move towards more of the construction phase. We are also replacing falling coping stones. So these are stones that are around the facade of our campus that, due to the thaw and freeze, have started to separate from the roof line. So we'll be working to replace those coping stones also as part of this project.
Okay.
I'm happy to do any questions or anything on this one.
Anybody have anything? If not, I'll entertain a motion to move it.
I'll move it.
Motion made by Legislator Green. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Legislator Huebner. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 117, amending capital project number 479, Ulster County Midtown Linear Park, PIN 8761.21, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute agreements, certifications, and reimbursements requests for federal aid on behalf of Ulster County with the New York State Department of Transportation for funding construction and construction inspections phase and amending the 2021 Capital Fund Budget Department of Planning. Is this the one that you wanted to speak on, Mark?
I'll move it.
Move it for discussion or move it for passage?
We only have to move it once, I believe.
Okay, I got a motion.
I'll second.
From Legislator Huebner, seconded by Legislator Cahill.
So this is the Midtown Linear Park construction and engineering inspection. Mm-hmm. And my understanding from Dennis is that the federal funding has now been approved for this and we're ready to go ahead.
Very good.
400,000 under, I think, the engineer's estimate as well.
Yeah.
Wow. All righty. So all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried.
Thanks, everyone. I think that's, Mark, is that all we need? Okay. Yeah, Dennis is at planning board tonight.
Thanks, Evelyn.
Good night, Evelyn, everyone. Thank you so much for coming.
My pleasure.
Resolution number 131, establishing capital project number 589, 2021 guide rail replacement program, Department of Public Works. This is going out to bid, Tom?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody have
it? It actually went out to bid. So the next resolution is for a contract with Chemung.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to move it.
I'll move.
Motion made by Legislator Heppner. Any seconds?
Second.
Seconded by Legislator Cahill. All in favor? Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 133, approving the execution of a contract for $130,000 entered into by the county Chemung Supply Corporation, Department of Public Works.
I'll move it.
Motion made by Legislator Heppner, seconded by Legislator Green.
I just want to raise for this one.
Go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. That this and the next contract with Peckham, at the executive's office, we have some concern about these two resolutions, and it's possible we may be withdrawing them prior to session. There was language that you all passed in a local law last year requiring a 30% apprenticeship requirement, a graduation requirement on apprenticeship programs, while this contract technically may meet the minimum requirements. We asked for some follow-up documentation, and they've only statewide, they've only had 5, I believe, apprentices over the last 5 years, and only 3 of them have graduated. So I'm still in consultation with the county attorney and director of purchasing, and we're seeing the way forward. We did submit this, but it's possible we may end up rejecting all bids and going back out to bid if we have time to do it before the paving season. So I'd ask that, you know, that you pass it tonight, but just understand that we may end up pulling it prior to session.
All right. So all in favor?
I asked a couple questions though. So, sorry about that. So Mark, we talked about this, I think last week, about the concern about that, right? And their ability to achieve that number, and you haven't been able to get further information as you just said. And I'm just wondering, what does Tom think as far as going back out to bid and getting them in time for, you know, the season? Do you think it's going to be an issue if we come back in a few days and say, this is no good?
So, yeah, any delay would have an impact. But I have to say, I mean, we have to follow the procurement policies of the county. So it is what it is. We will live with this. Okay.
So let me ask this. So there was more than one bid, though, right?
Correct.
And so then wouldn't we automatically then default down to the next bid if this one is deemed unqualified? Rather than go out for a whole new bid?
I think that there would be a stronger case to, without going too far, to reject all bids because the bid language wasn't as clear as maybe it should have been. As far as, I mean, I spoke about this in another committee the other night where in the language of the local law, it requires a 30% graduation rate as decided by the New York State Department of Labor. And that's what the bid document said. And since COVID, the Department of Labor no longer does that, and they don't intend to go back to do it. So we do need, you know, to amend the local law. But in the meantime, I think the purchasing department would have the authority to lay out a requirement that's a little bit, I think, stronger than what we did in the current bid. And so I do think we would probably, my guess would be, end up in litigation if we just rejected the bottom bid and went on to the next low bidder, but that we might be on stronger grounds to just reject the bids and go back out.
Okay. All right. Thanks. That answered my question. Thank you.
So we will do that as swiftly as, and a decision will be made this week. I'm just working with the, you know, with Director Jordan and the county attorney.
Gotcha.
So all in favor to this resolution? Aye. All right. All opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 134, establishing capital project number 590, 2021 DPW Asphalt Overlay Program, Department of Public Works.
I'll move it.
Motion made by Legislator Heppner.
I'll second.
Seconded by Legislator Cahill. Any questions for Tom or on this? Okay, all in favor? Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 136, approving the execution of a contract for $5,130,000 entered into by the County Peckham Road Corporation to Public Works.
I'll move it.
Motion made by Legislator Heppner.
I'll second.
Second by Legislator Green. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Resolution number 137, establishing capital project number 591, 2021, reconstruction of various roads, Department of Public Works and Bridges and Highways. Motion made by Legislator Heppner. Seconded by Legislator Fabiano. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 139, approving the execution of a contract amendment for rates anticipated to exceed $50,000 entered into by the County Peckham Road Corporation, Department of Public Works.
Moved.
Moved by Legislator Heppner.
Second, and I have a question.
Okay, Manager Joe, go ahead.
Just to know what to be watching for on Peckham 136 and 137, does that also include this?
No.
No.
This one is not over the threshold.
Right. And it's an amendment to an already existing contract.
And I also want to say I really appreciate, you know, this is exactly what I've been looking for, is here's the law that it relates to, here's the question and so forth. It tied it back, you tied it back to the legislation. And that to me is very valuable, you know, so that we all get more, it keeps our memory fresh and, you know, as I said, I appreciate the tying it back to the legislation, not just stating the problem. Thank you.
Okay. So So we have two motions on the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 140. Approving the execution of a contract amendment for rates anticipated to exceed $50,000 entered into by the County Gorman Brothers Incorporated Department of Public Works. This is for amendments. This is for that cold in place asphalt recycling.
Yes. Yeah.
Any questions for Tom? If not, I'll entertain a motion to move it.
Mr. Chairman, can we block these?
You know what? I was thinking about that earlier today. Yeah. We could probably block resolution 140, 141, 142, 143, 144.
Yep. I'll make a motion to do so.
Okay, we got a motion on the floor to block resolutions 140 through 144. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second.
Okay, so on the blocking of them, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, motion carried. Legislator Heppner, do I need to read each one now, or
no?
I don't need to read each one, you don't think?
No, you can just call the block.
Okay. All right, so on the block, I'll entertain a motion to move it.
I'll move it.
Moved by Legislator Heppner.
I'll second.
Second by Legislator Cahill. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carried. Mm-hmm. Resolution number 145, approving the execution of the contract amendment for rates anticipated to exceed $50,000 entered into by the County Highway Rehabilitation Corporation Department of Public Works.
I'll move it.
Motion made by Legislator Heppner. This is for the
House. I'll second.
Seconded by Legislator Green. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Right. All opposed? Motion carried. Okay. Resolution number 146. Approving the execution of a contract amendment for rates anticipated to exceed $50,000 entered into by the County Seal Coat USA Incorporated Department of Public Works.
I'll move it.
Seal Coat the Roads. Motion made by Legislator Heppner. Seconded by Legislator Fabiano. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Aye. Motion carried. Resolution number 147, approving the execution of a contract amendment for rates anticipated to exceed $50,000 entered into by the County Seneca Paving Market Marking Incorporated Department Works. These people do all our lines and everything on the roads.
I'll move it.
Motion made by Legislator Heppner. Do I hear a second?
A second.
Seconded by Legislator Green. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion carried. Resolution number 148, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $20,000, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the county Ellamore Incorporated DBA Pest Master Services Department of Public Works.
I'll move it.
These are the people that remove our deer carcasses and dead animals off the road. Motion made by Legislator Heppner.
Second.
Seconded by Legislator Cahill. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 149, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $32,500, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county Gentech LTD Department of Public Works.
I'll move it.
Motion made by Legislator Heppner.
Second, and I have a question.
Seconded by Legislator Cahill with a question. Go ahead.
So, Mr. Jackson, what is Gentech? What do they supply to DPW?
They do repair and emergency charges and repairs and emergency services. That's what they do.
Repairs. They're generator maintenance, right?
Generator maintenance. Okay, that's what I was getting at. All right, gotcha.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's fine.
Generators.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions? If not, I'll all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. And the final resolution is resolution number 150, approving the execution of a contract for $59,800 entered into by the county Northeastern HVACR Corporation Department of Public Works.
I'll move it. I'll second it. I have a question.
Legislator Heppner.
Yes, I believe there was discussion on this in the chair's meeting. I wasn't able to attend that. Am I correct that this is the resolution that's for plumbing replacement in Enterprise West?
Yeah, so it's for the waste, the replacement of the drain lines from the second floor to the first floor, so the internal structure. This is part of the capital project that you all approved last year in order to get the building a temporary certificate of occupancy. This was one of the requirements from safety. Otherwise, you have sewage that can run onto the floor. It's the only contract out of that capital that was over 50,000, but I think it's 59,000. It will be completed by the time the transfer of the property is completed, if the surplus goes through.
So just to follow up with that then, with the accompanying resolution for moving to USITA, and as you said, would it not be more fiscally logical to move it to not move this, and if the likelihood of it moving to USITA, then have it paid for that way, I guess is the simplest way to say it.
I mean, I don't know that they have capital funds in USITA. This was always, we had always planned on this being a county expense. It's taken a little bit longer to wrap up this capital project, but again, prior to it being transferred to USITA, this work will be complete. Yeah.
Then my other question is, just kind of a question, and this might be for Commissioner Jackson. Is there currently an issue with the plumbing that it wouldn't allow for a certificate of occupancy?
Well, there is a problem with the plumbing, most definitely. I'm not clear on question regarding the certificate of occupancy, but it's not functioning properly. It does need to be replaced.
So we would prevent this certificate.
The safety department has said that we need to replace this waistline in order to get the temporary CFO and have it available for showing people property.
You have to have the CFO before you can show the property?
We have to have a temporary CFO they're comfortable having us bring people in and out, right? Large amounts of people showing the property for redevelopment.
Yeah, I just want confirmation that this is just because of we're in the process of likely transferring it, that this is a definitely a necessity.
Yeah, I can get something from safety on that. Prior to, you know, I can get you a memo prior to session.
Just because if the facilities aren't being used, then, you know, for showing, I just want to make sure it's necessary if we're going to drop another 60K on, you know, like this.
How long, Mark, would it take to get that letter?
I mean, I'll have it prior to session.
You have it prior to session?
Yes.
Okay. All right, on the resolution, do I have a motion to move it?
I think we already did.
We did. Just
oh, okay. So all in favor? Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Okay, that concludes our resolutions for the evening. Under new business, we have a draft update proposed local law number 1 of 2021, County of Ulster, a local law amending Chapter 185, Dakota County Ulster Electrical Standards. Tom, you want to speak on this? I know you're on that committee.
Yeah, so yeah, let me give you a little context here. This is a new electrical licensing board that was established by the legislature by local law. And we went through the appointment process and we organized the electrical licensing board, and COVID hit. And we're not able to meet in person. But for twice in an entire year, we did only one official meeting. One was just a meet and greet. So we got to know who everybody was. It's a very good board. I'm on it as a non-voting member, or the commissioner of DPW is as a non-voting member. I see John Parody is with us tonight.
He's also on it.
He is a designee of the legislative chair, Donaldson. And he's also serving as secretary of the board. So in the process of meeting and developing qualifications and evaluating how to go through the examination process for those that appear to be qualified, the board decided that it needed to ask for some changes in the law. A lot of these changes have to do with making the process work more smoothly, and it's to get rid of some problem areas. I'm happy to go through them. I do have I'm not an electrician, but I do have an understanding of what the board is trying to accomplish with these revisions. And the board is prepared to, at least a fair number of them are prepared to attend the public hearing to answer any questions that come up in the process. But basically what the board is proposing is to license master electricians through a grandfathering process and then through an examination process. There are other types of licenses which are very, very problematic in their minds. One of them, most notably, is a provisional license. In order to qualify for a master electrician through a grandfather process, you have to have 11 years of qualifying experience doing electrical work. In order to qualify to take the electrical license exam, you can have 7 years of qualifying experience. The provisional was to allow for somebody that had that 7 years, a holding license, a license that they could have until they got their 11 years. And nobody on the board is comfortable with that kind of license because it's not subject to an examination and they don't have the full qualifications for a master electrician's license grandfathering. So they feel that anybody that would qualify for this provisional license should sit for the exam and prove that they are knowledgeable sufficient to be a master electrician. So that's one key change. There are two other key changes that have to do with Class B and Class C licenses. Again, the board is most comfortable issuing master electrician licenses. Class B is for somebody that might be an employee of a plant or facility that does very limited work. The problem is, what facility, what plant, what work? How do you test for that? And how do you issue a license that's limited just to what that individual is capable of doing? It's too wide open in terms of permutations. They're not comfortable issuing a limited license on that basis. And the general feeling is that if that plant or facility was doing an addition, a major renovation, they'd be hiring a master electrician anyway, or they better be. So basically, they're only comfortable with the concept of master electricians, at least at this point. We are in the process of accepting applications. 8 individuals were approved for licenses at the last meeting, and the pace at which we are receiving applications is increasing as the word gets out. So it's starting to go very smoothly, but I have to say it's taken a while to get this off the ground. It's a great board, by the way. And John, if I've said anything out of turn, please correct me.
How dare I? How dare I? May I?
Yeah, go ahead,
Mr. Chairman. Excuse me. As legislators, you know, I'm there and I'm listening to the folks talk about ohms and volts and amperages, and I might as well be listening to Chinese. But the debates and the conversations that these professionals have had are animated, they're substantial. The debate is direct and professional. And Mr. Jackson, the commissioner, has done a wonderful job of steering it. And they've identified these areas as something that we have to be able to address with you as legislators to move forward. The concept is wonderful. And these folks are professionals. And nobody could illustrated better than Commissioner Jackson, and we have to move forward, and I hope you some good questions for the good commissioner.
Thanks, John. The only other thing I would like to add is I would encourage you, there is attached to the proposed revised local law a memorandum, an outline of recommended changes. I would encourage you to read the outline of recommended changes. I think it'll put into context the essence of how the board would like to move forward. The nuts and bolts of the actual language of the law, I don't think that's all the way there yet. You know, I look forward to reviewing that in more detail.
And if I might, as legislators, Mr. Chairman, you folks would be proud of the discussions and the debates that these folks have had incredibly professional way.
Right, I'm sure. Yeah. Now, Tom, getting back to what you said earlier, because I have an individual in my district who's been, he served in the service made a career of the service, like for 20 years. He came out and he got involved in doing electrical work. And he's been an electrician now probably for, a little over 20 years. And he's wired up houses he works every day as an electrician throughout the county. Now, I don't know what kind of license. I don't think he has a master's license.
He qualifies to apply for a grandfathered master electrician's license. He'll have to submit the application for review. The professional electricians on the board have formed a qualification reviews committee.
Yeah.
And they will look at that application, communicate with this individual, and make sure that if he meets the qualification standards, that he will get a grandfather license.
Okay. Okay. That's good. That's okay.
So
that's
there's a process for him. Absolutely. Okay.
There is a process for him.
Yep.
Okay. That's all I have.
Yeah. Right. If I may, just a quick question. I'm sorry if I missed this, but it's not on the document. Are you planning to put this in for April? Is that the plan, or is that still uncertain?
Well, we're leaving that really to Chairman Donaldson and the clerk of the legislature to move this law forward.
Yep. And I just wanted to thank you and Legislative Parity for, you know, the time spent on this board. And I think, you know, from my memory of when we passed this, I think this is exactly what the spirit of the law was to, you know, have the professionals, the folks like my grandfather who actually know this stuff.
Yeah, right.
that I never understood growing up. And so this to me is this legislation and the intent and spirit of this legislation working exactly as was intended. So I thank you for that. And I look forward to the suggested changes. And I think it's definitely a positive thing.
Could I, may I, Legislator
yes,
Hebner, there are some changes that have to be made and discussed. The intent is to do it right. Not to rush it.
Yep.
It would be nice for the board probably to have it in April, but some of the staff that you work with have found the language of what has to be changed runs through the entire local law. So it's sort of then up to another set of professionals to make that decision.
We'll get there.
Yes.
Thank you. That's all.
Does anybody have any other new business or old business that they would like to discuss?
Legislator Green.
I do.
Go ahead, Legislator Green.
I want to say that we had a similar experience, are having a similar experience with the composting law, that there are going to have to be some modifications. In this case, it's because... you know, you can all the best laid plans, and we tried to leave no stone unturned when you actually start to implement, then you discover things that, so we're in conversation on that. That happens even with the, you know, best designed, and I also want to express my appreciation. I have two other quick things. One is just a comment, since we talked about Enterprise West. I was absolutely thrilled with the responses. I really didn't expect it. And it indicates to me, you know, something I've been hoping for this county, that a lot of them focused on sustainability one way or another. And I was just really delighted. I don't know how it'll all play itself out, but it was really, really great to see. And the other thing is just to tell folks, Commissioner Jackson is aware, but that we are hosting an event on March 29th, which will be after session, but before our next meeting. So it's on green cement. And we're going to be co-hosting that with the Department of the Environment, the Climate Smart Committee, and events like that are certification as a Climate Smart community. And we're in the process of recertifying and trying to get an even higher standing. The point is to be able to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And most of the conferences and forums that I put together, I often know a lot about, and I want to share that knowledge. But in this case, I can't vouch for it one way or the other. I know very little, but it's something I want to learn more about. And I think others on the Climate Smart Committee. And so I know that that Tom Jackson is aware, but I wanted folks to, it's March 29th, I think it's 6 p.m. And we're just designing the flyer. Fawn did a beautiful job with that and will be notifying people widely. We have to figure out, you know, how to make this so that it's open to the legislature, but it's not sponsored by the legislature per se, because then you have to worry about, you know, forums and quorums and what's discussed and what's not. So, but it's an educational program, and it should be very interesting. Those are my new businesses.
Anybody have anything else they want to add tonight? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion made by Legislator Heppner.
Well, second.
Seconded by Legislator Cahill. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. This meeting is adjourned. Thank everyone for coming tonight, and be safe out there.
Thank you. Take care.
Good night, everybody.